Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yud Gimel B'Chodesh Menachem Av, Parashas Va'Eschanan, Tavshin Ayin Tes, 5779, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 13 August, 2019, webcasting from the eternal battleground, the target of all kinds of Goyim. Last webcast, we referenced the latest Jew to be murdered by Goyim, the most larcenous people in the world, the Arabs, who believe the Jews stole Al-Quds from them, when the history is uncontested. David declared Jerusalem the capital of the children of Israel, Israel, the grandson of Abraham, in the year 869 before the Common Era. In the Common Era, in the year 638, that is 1,507 years later, after 1,507 years of Jewish history in Jerusalem, and what a history, very interesting, the sons of Ishmael swarmed into the land in the year 638, not promised to them who saw in their conquest a sign from the God of Ibrahim, father of Ismail, that the Jews had lost his favor. And never mind, the Torah says that will never happen, no matter what punishment he visits upon us. And for the next 1,400 years, the Ishmaelites ruled over Jerusalem, but apparently it meant so little to them, they maintained it, wittingly or unconsciously, as a ruin, a slum. Proof the Jews had lost their promised land. They were driven out, like Ishmael had been driven out, only now Ishmael returned as Allah's chosen people, favorite of Allah. The Hamas Covenant of 1988 says as much in its first few sentences. With my own eyes, I saw a dump, a relic of a town, Jerusalem, under Muslim rule in 1967. And if they claim it is a holy city to them, they sure have a funny way of caring for this holy city, the third holiest city in Islam, they say. The third holiest dump in Islam, perhaps. Dr. Mordechai Kedar, I just saw in a video, scan the fake history of Jerusalem, Muslim Jerusalem, as holy to Muslims, adding to my own knowledge of this fraud. Everything about this people is a fraud. My old professor, Edward Said, was an imposter. He was a Lebanese, no Palestinian. Though born in a part of Jerusalem that did not exist before the Zionists prepared the way, that was an incident in his life only, for his was a Lebanese family who made their home in Cairo and visited their homeland every year for summer vacation with relatives in Lebanon. Edward Said wrote his PhD dissertation on Joseph Conrad and called it the fiction of autobiography. And for his own autobiography, it was a fiction. It was a disguise, as this whole Palestinian national movement is an empty suit of a political movement. So was Edward Said's identity, empty of all things Palestinian. He was a Lebanese Christian imposter, as the entirety of his Arab people's war against Israel is an imposture on humanity. As the National Museum of Palestine opens its doors with nothing inside, so everything about Palestinian nationalism, and no less Islam, is an empty imposture. Muhammad crowned himself the last and greatest of the prophets found in Tanakh, whom Muslims retroactively lay claim to as their Muslim ancestors, the religion of the sons of Ishmael, that wild ass of a man, who, as they insist, their ancient Palestinians also insist their ancient Semites when they are Hamites. The claim that Jerusalem is holy to the Muslims is another fraud. Kedar says the original Al-Aqsa Mosque was not in Jerusalem, but between Mecca and Taif, a town which is some 40 miles to the east of Mecca. But because the Ishmaelites are forever fighting and killing one another, there was bad blood between them in about the year 682. The Muslims ruling in Mecca and the Umayyad, who had overrun Damascus, were not on good terms, and they had control of Jerusalem, the Umayyads. And they established themselves in Damascus, which since the days of the patriarchs had been the regional capital. Jerusalem was nothing under non-Jews. There was conflict between those two communities in Damascus and Mecca. Sort of like today's Fatah and Hamas gangs, I imagine, that never can unite. The Meccans would not let their rivals in Damascus make the pilgrimage, so the Umayyad declared that Jerusalem was holy too, and they built the Golden Dome of the Rock Shrine to attract pilgrims away from Mecca. They wanted the tourist trade. Al-Aqsa, meaning the furthest, and that's a cognate of the Hebrew word katzeh, meaning the edge or something. Everything in Arabic and Islam is stolen from the Jews. The Umayyad said Jerusalem was the real furthest mosque, no longer Taif. But if Jerusalem, again, is a holy site, what exactly is its message, the contents of this holiness? Like the empty galleries in the National Museum of Palestine, Muslims, Islam is a holiness empty of all content. All it is, its presence in Jerusalem, is the victory over the Jews. So, you all saw the video of the swarming thousands of Muslims on Sunday, rioting on our Temple Mount, with the delusion in their heads, I'm not making this up, that the Jews who wanted to ascend the Temple Mount on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av, were really scheming to attack and destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque. It is chronically in the minds of these primitives that the Jews are scheming to destroy that mosque. It was a news story I covered in my book way back when, covered by CNN in 1996. Prime Minister Netanyahu had just opened the tunnel running along the Western Wall, heading north, and the Muslims protested this violation of the status quo, squawking that the archaeological restoration was a cover for planting bombs under Al-Aqsa to destroy its foundations and make it collapse. And never mind that the mosque is in the other direction from the tunnel on the Temple Mount, which did not stop CNN from reporting as fact the Arab accusation. It's always Al-Aqsa that the Muslims believe Al-Yahud wants to destroy. In 1929, Haji Amin ignited the fires of hell here by spreading the fake news that Al-Aqsa had been torched by the Jews, who also massacred 500 believers. The Second Intifada began because Ariel Sharon dared to just walk in front of Al-Aqsa. And so on Sunday, 2 days ago, and not for the first time, there was violence on our Temple Mount because Muslims insist it is 100% their possession. And the proof of that is that one night, Muhammad flew in from Mecca on a flying horse. And for sure, before the flight took off, he didn't have to endure today's modern security check, thanks to Muslims like him. I've said it before, the more I observe the Arabs, the deeper my belief in the God of Israel, who produced the five books. The behavior of the seed of Ishmael today is the behavior of Ishmael since the beginning. Unchanged. These people are all appetite for the wealth of others and experience no guilt in resorting to murder to get what they covet. In this, they are true sons of Ham, who appears in the five books. The first time his name appears, it's a line away from the first appearance of the word Hamas, the ultimate in sin, that led the Almighty to drown not only his greatest creation, man, but the very earth he is made of. Only the behavior of Ham, whose mother, Mrs. Noah, with no first name, was of the line of Cain. It seems Ham bore with him when the flood receded a significant load of Hamas that he had inherited before the flood and after the flood infected the world with it, which is why Noah cursed him, his seed, and commands that they be slaves of slaves. And what do you know? I saw on the net video of the Grand Mosque in Mecca on Sunday, surrounding the site in the middle of the Grand Mosque, where Ismail was bound for a sacrifice by his father Ibrahim. Thousands of them, with their faces pressed into the ground, down on all fours in total submission, like slaves, who suffer from a chronic bitter envy of free people, like the Jews, like prisoners in a prison who envy people outside. Muslims are afflicted with a murderous envy of others, in particular the Jews. What was this violence that day on our Temple Mount, this riot? What was it all about? Possession of the site of the temples of the Jews. In our own time, 19 years ago, the leaders of the fraudulent Fakistanians, Arafat and Erekat, at Camp David, said the Jews never had any temples on Haram al-Sharif. And not long after, with my own ears, twice I overheard, standing in the plaza before the wall, Arab tour guides telling their charges there is no evidence there were ever any Jewish temples on the mount, standing in front of the wall. And never mind that when modern mandatory Palestine came into existence, and there was foreign investment and significant a rise in tourists arriving, Haj Amin published in English booklets extolling Haram al-Sharif, and especially the Dome of the Rock, as the site of the Jews' temples. Today, though, there's no shame, no guilt, in declaring just the opposite. Truth does not matter when you are a slave of your appetite. What is taqiyya, dissembling, all about, if not in shirt-sleeve English? Lying. There's nothing wrong with lying to get what you want. About a month ago, I think, on the webcast, I commented on a recent video of Ilhan Omar, insisting with a big smile that she is certainly not an anti-Semite. And I saw in it taqiyya in action. She wanted to end the issue and move on and said what she was expected to say. We have seen in the States recently several instances of Muslim priests in the U.S. being caught spewing the vilest Jew hatred in their mosques, and when called upon to explain themselves, they insist they were not aware of giving offense to anybody. And if they did, they are sorry. End of news item. Until the next time. So the riots on the Temple Mount on Tisha B'Av were just another episode in the history of Muslim aggression against the Jewish people. The Quran is an anti-Semitic tract. But there is an upside to the riots, to my way of thinking. They were certainly further proof of the truth of Jewishness. It's amazing, I think, that the story of Ishmael and Israel is as alive today as it has been for thousands of years. It is an immortal story because the Jews are immortal, because Hashem wants it that way.
יום פנה כצל תומר, יקרא לכה, עליי גומר, אמר שומר, אתה בוקר וגם לילה, המבדיל בין קודש ל... Oh, בידך כחומר סלח נא על קל וחומר יום ליום יביא
So, last webcast, we reported on the latest human sacrifice of a Jew by Muslims, because, as the murderer says, the Jews had been talking of annexing Judea and Samaria. As with the Temple Mount, the Ishmaelites are fighting over who owns what. Their religion, called Islam, submission, alludes to the submission by Ibrahim to Allah's command that he bind his son for a sacrifice. In the Quran, the son is not named, which already is a perversion of the Torah, and later in the Hadith, the son is named Ishmael. The armed robber, as Rashi knew him. Rashi lived 1,000 years ago at the time of the First Crusade, and for sure he knew it was ignited by the recent destruction of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem by Muslims, in addition to the chronic abuse of Christian pilgrims wanting to visit the holy sites in Jerusalem. The very name of this religion therefore alludes to its foundational theft of the Jews' story of the binding of Isaac. In its very birth, Islam was an act of criminal aggression against the Jewish people. So our crack security forces, the army, the GSS, the border patrol, and who knows, perhaps assistance from the Fatah, the murderers of Dvir Soech, Hashem Yikom Demo, were identified and captured like in 24 hours, which speaks volumes not only for our capabilities, but the absolute right of Israel to rule in Judea and Samaria. For if we were to withdraw, as in Gaza, Hamas would take over, and we would be forbidden to police these savage people who think it's cool to pounce upon an innocent Jew and stab him and stab him and stab him. No doubt they thrill to the feel of plunging a blade into another human being's flesh again and again. They're like psychopaths in this regard. Unfortunately, Israelis, or maybe fortunately as a defense mechanism, Israelis cannot see the reality that the enemy is not a Palestinian people motivated by a normal nationalist yearning to restore an ancient Palestinian community, self-governing, and identifiable by its ancient culture. No, these people are chronically in their mosques encouraged to hate Jews and reject our right to live here in our ancient homeland. Their objection is that we stole Palestine from them, took it away from them. Yasser Arafat was a native Egyptian. Edward Said was a Lebanese. Naif Khawetma, head of the DFLP, these terrorist butchers of the children at Maalot, he was born in Jordan. He didn't lack for citizenship on Palestinian soil. And so many of the refugees in 1948 had roots no deeper than the birth of mandatory Palestine and the ensuing economic boom here that attracted labor from all over the Middle East. No, what has fueled these murderers since the days of Haj Amin is Islam. Only secular Israelis have no vocabulary to deal with this fact. Their movement was a conscious effort at producing a new Jew who would not be religious and therefore give no offense to others by calling himself a special chosen people. Secular Zionism was born in the age of enlightenment, when human reason came to be worshipped, and no longer the God of Christian scripture. Following the swift capture of those homicidal Hamites last week, who murdered Dvir, Hashem Yikom Timo, Prime Minister Netanyahu, of course, praised the security agencies for their swift work. Those who surprised the murderers in their beds, woke them up, they described the utter amazement on their faces. I imagine it also helps that much of Judea and Samaria is now plastered with security cameras. So the Prime Minister praised them and said, quote, "We will continue to fight terrorism intensely on all fronts," close quote. And then the day after the murder and before the capture, Benny Gantz paid a visit to Gush, and he said, quote, "The terrorists want once again to harm the residents of Gush Etzion and all the citizens of Israel. They will not succeed in breaking our spirit," close quote. And he referenced the murder of the three other yeshiva boys in the summer of 2014, not far away. Quote, "The terrorists thought at that time they would weaken the residents of the Gush, etc." Close quote. The residents of the Gush, the Jews, and these people are not terrorists. In both these cases, Gantz, Netanyahu, they call these people terrorists instead of what they are, which is religious Muslims. Murderers. What they're doing has something they've been doing for thousands of years before the very words terror and terrorism and terrorist were invented, really rooted in the French Revolution when the Jacobins guillotined thousands of deplorable people for disagreeing with them and not being revolutionary enough. What yours truly finds so peculiar about Israelis is their paralysis when it comes to shooting down the ideas of the enemy. Like the Iron Dome shoots down their rockets, Israelis go through life with little awareness that Islam is as much a society of Jew-haters as medieval Christianity or Nazi Germany. The post-religious Zionists believe that if they had their own country and acted like a normal people, anti-Semitism would dry up and be gone with the wind. And they thought this precisely because they themselves were post-religious. And since then, they keep trying to tempt the Arabs to make peace with us using goodwill gestures. Last week, the Jerusalem municipality signed off on a plan to build thousands more new apartments for the Israelites in Jerusalem. New schools and tourist sites will be built for them. Secular Zionism, which is almost an oxymoron, secular Jew is for sure, since the word Jew derives from a moment in the Torah when Mother Leah thanks God for the birth of her fourth son. Yehuda comes from the verb to thank. Secularism, the dictionary says, means against religion, so a secular Jew is an anti-religious God-thanker. The secular Zionist wanted simultaneously a state for Jews, but one that would not be religious. When the spine, the heart, the mind and soul of Jewish identity is the religion. And so the Zionists, those post-religious Israelis, have had a hard time confronting the reality that the enemy here is driven by religion and is incapable of conceiving of this new Jew without the religion. Like two ships passing in the night, like a dialogue of the deaf, Israelis see in the murderers of Dvir, Hashem Yikom Dimo, and all the victims of our Muslim neighbors, like the children of Sderot, psychologically lamed by PTSD, the victims of terrorists, whose ideology presumably is terrorism, which is another word empty of content. There's no such thing as terrorism. There would be if there were people who publicly declared this is their philosophy. Terrorism, meaning the ism of terror for terror's sake. No connection to politics, religion. Terror as a way of life and death. There are no such people. Terror is a tactic. Terror is, before then, an emotion. No, our enemy is Muslims, Hamitic Muslims, ravenously covetous of our wealth, material and spiritual, who lack all human empathy, which is a lack necessary for the mind of barbaric murderers in order to do what they do to us all the time.
Shalom, atteret בעלה גם בשמחה ובצהולה. לפעמים החיים ממשיכים לא עוצרים, וישנם רגעים נחשפים וחולפים. זהו רגע שארצה שיישאר ברובד עמוק יותר בתוך הנשמה. נפשי מייח אליו ביום ובלילה, נזכר בחיוך שלך ובזמרתך האחרונה. זהו רגע שארצה שיישאר ברובד עמוק יותר בתוך נשמה. הודו לשם כי טוב, כי לעולם חסדו, כי לעולם חסדו. הודו לשם כי טוב, כי טוב, כי לעולם חסדו, חסדו. על צדיק התמר שפרח, כל עוד מעדן וברקיע ונודה. ישר, ישר השם, צורי ולא עבלה תבוא. שלום, עטרת בעלה גם בשמחה ובצהולה.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, the secular Zionists wanted from the get-go to have their cake and eat it too. They wanted a normal country for Jews who would be in the majority and therefore no longer subject to being an insecure minority subject to cruel majority anti-Semites. But otherwise, it would be a normal society, indistinguishable from the best of the West, which in our time means being up to date with the latest intellectual fashions, such as the feminism that preaches, according to the 1960s theorist Kate Millett, the only difference between men and women is the plumbing. And so, in Jerusalem at the Wall, every new moon, we have to put up with a handful of neurotic women who experience the separation of Jewish men and women at prayer as motivated by male chauvinism. These male chauvinists don't think women are good enough to pray with men. Alternatively, such feminists, when told their presence next to strange men, would distract them. They say, that's their problem. They must learn to resist their attraction and concentrate on their prayers, close quote. Feminism is in general at its most toxic, a war against nature. Aggressive feminists protest against patriarchal society. You know, the product of toxic masculinity, when their deeper complaint is with God for having made them women. Women's liberation at its worst was the drive to liberate oneself from being a woman, a human with a womb who is expected to bear children and nurture them and educate them, versus a Hillary Clinton who wanted to be an astronaut, when all astronauts were not only men, but frequently veteran combat pilots. Or a Tulsi Gabbard, the childless career officer in the military who wants to be commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. And what triggers these thoughts was an annoying news story here of a court ruling denying the right of Haredi Jews to attend a musical performance of religious singers, men, singing their religious songs without the presence of women. Orthodox Jews in general do not like men and women socializing in mixed company. In Afula in the Jezreel Valley, a concert was canceled by the court because feminists insisted it was a crime to exclude women from this event, which legal decision I find simply anti-Semitic, besides being ignorant and brainless about thousands of years of Jewish life versus all the other nations we have lived among that are no longer. It is our brilliance about the relations between men and women that has kept us alive. I know from my own experience as a so-called Reform Jew what it is to sit in a pew in a Reform temple next to a strange girl or woman who, since the 1960s, has adopted the fashion for skirt length from streetwalkers. Only when I adopted the religious life of my forefathers did I become aware of how distracting the Reform experience is from true prayer, unencumbered by the most normal of male behaviors, which is the reflex to ogle the opposite sex. It's like the DNA of the human male, this behavior. Hence the persistence since ancient times of pornography. They say half the internet traffic is that. And it's no accident that the Jewish people produced a Sigmund Freud and legions of other outstanding psychiatrists and psychologists, for the religions of the Jews is in tune with the true relations between sexes that God's nature imbues us with. The feminist at the wall demands that men stop acting naturally, even if they can't. Feminists are at war with nature, their own and that of men. I think it's typical of these modern Jacobins who cannot tolerate those who do not think as they do, the deplorable ones. The decision to deny the right of Haredim to such an event is nothing less than anti-Jewish. Jews are not meant to be like other nations, like those in the post-religious degenerate West these days. And now a similar concert scheduled for Haifa is also under attack by the same toxic feminists who demand that it too be canceled. This is Israel at its worst.
Yaakov ve et Elohe Yisrael.
Okay, that's it for this Tuesday, and we're back to normal music, as you've heard. I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.